Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 12 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. It is Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN.
What's so great about it, Alan?
800-919-3776 is the number. What's great is we have the opportunity.
We got robbed yesterday. It's not great. It's disrespectful. They disrespected us yesterday, man, with the phantom calls and apologize afterwards. It's not so great today, man. I feel like we're being targeted because they hate how we grind. 10 toes down. Guys hurt. Stepping up. Brunson with another great performance. And this is how they do us? He's a superstar. And a scrub threw up a Hail Mary like he was throwing a football, a moon ball, and they bailed him out. That hurts, Allen. That's disrespectful, man. So it's not the great city in the world today because they ain't treating us like it's the great city. We know it's great. But does everybody else know it's great? I'm tired of these Foot Locker wannabe dudes. Same dude that did it to LeBrick.
Yes.
But I don't care about LeBrick.
All right. So there's a lot to do today, as you know. And, of course, the calls are a big part of this because people want to vent, and here's your opportunity to do that. 800-919-3776. It's been all over my several different social media feeds for the last – I mean, really, for the last 12 hours since this game ended. And then, of course, which is something you rarely see, although it does happen, you rarely see this, is that after the game, the lead official, the crew chief, that's Ed Molloy, you rarely see that they come out. And when you have send in a pool reporter to get an explanation on a foul or on a non-call or any of that stuff, it's rare that they will say – we missed that. We screwed up. We got it wrong. You got it wrong. The game's over. You got it wrong. That's the part that I think is the most maddening, is everybody. And I defy a Rockets fan even to jump in this conversation and tell me that they don't agree. Everybody in that gym, everybody watching around the country, everyone said, hell no, that is not a foul. You do not blow that whistle. Was there contact? I said this on the postgame. There was contact, yes. And you can go with the technicality of, well, technically, man, he does run through him. Technically, you know, you could make the call. And if you really wanted to play that game, you could do that and say, and protect your official, protect Jason Goebel, and say, technically, there was contact and it seemed enough to blow the whistle in a situation like that. And the ball did hit the rim. So it's not like, you know, there was... You know, the ball was out of bounds. The ball hit the rim. So you could have done that, and I was expecting it. I sat back. I go, here's what they're going to do. They're going to make up this some kind of excuse or reason why you have to call that because it's letter of the law. And I love the fact that Ed Molloy said, I ain't doing that. We watched it back, and you know what? Wrong call. Incidental. That contact was not enough to deem a foul, and it shouldn't have been called. And while that doesn't fix the wound, what does Michael Kay always say? That doesn't put the milk back in the udder, right? It doesn't fix the problem. The Knicks still take an L, a painful one, because this is a tough time right now. They are undermanned. They take the loss.
Could be two L's.
You're not making up for the loss. So it doesn't do anybody any good that after the game you say, you know what, yeah, we screwed up. But I'll tell you what, though. If you remove yourself from the situation and just look at it, I appreciate Ed Molloy for doing that. Now, beyond that, we've got a lot to figure out here. And I reached out to Steve Javy, who was an NBA referee for a long time.
One of the greatest slickbacks ever, man.
He actually does have a really good coif. He 25 years in the league. He now works for ESPN as a rules analyst, and he's going to be kind enough to join us at the bottom of the hour, 12:30, to just give us his take on what he saw. But all it took was the crew chief to say, we got it wrong. Like, we don't have to wait for the last two-minute report at 5 o'clock today to see that it was the incorrect call. We don't have to wait. He said it, so we're done. We know. But it doesn't make it any better. But this is, like for me, Bart, it goes beyond that call.
Yeah,
this whole game, this year has been filled with some calls that are making you scratch your head. But this game alone,
yeah.
If I told you the Knicks had 58 points in the paint, right? The league average is 50. Mm-hmm. The Knicks had 58 points in the paint in a physical game. And I told you, oh, and they only had 12 free throw attempts. Would you have a problem with that? Would you say that doesn't make sense?
I mean, listen, we saw Brunson going in amongst the trees and getting knocked down.
He had 8 free throw attempts.
Just finishing it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he had 8.
Listen.
Jabari Smith Jr. had 8.
That's what I'm
saying. Shengun had 8. Oh, and Jalen Green had 9.
But that's what I'm saying.
But the all-star in the game had 8.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm getting at. Like, I don't
think. That doesn't make sense.
Like, I feel like and I don't want to put him in the same category. I feel like they treat him like Lamar Jackson or Cam Newton, right? Like those guys, they say, well, because you're so physically gifted, because you're so good right now, you know, and because you have this reputation of being a junkyard dog, you know, we're gonna let you get hit and we're not gonna call it, right? Because you know we know you go in there and you seek out contact. You know, but like it's crazy.
He seeks contact. I think he just takes contact.
My point. Well,
you know what I mean?
Because,
like, that's the problem.
Because he's not frail like Steph Curry used to be, and he doesn't fall all dramatic and flop and add a little flop to it like AI maybe do with the flailing of the arms and the kicking out of the legs and all that stuff. Yeah. They don't deem it that it doesn't look like it's you know to the level of a foul. It's just physicality.
Oh, and by the way, there's a replay. I put it on my Twitter. Dillon Brooks is driving on Brunson. Brunson obviously is a guy that does positional defense. He will take charges. He leads the league in it. Mm-hmm. Brunson is basically bracing himself as Dillon Brooks is driving in on him. It's during the game. It's not late in it. It's during the game. And Brooks lowers his shoulder, and I mean just drives through him like a running back is trying to drive through a safety, right? Like it's Derrick Henry type stuff. Mm-hmm. All that was missing was the stiff arm. Brunson goes flying. They called a foul on Brunson.
Yeah, man.
Blocking foul. Are you – when you lower your – like Julius Randle was somewhere watching this thing, wanted to break a television. Like, wait a second. You can lower your shoulder and put it into the chest of a player and it's okay? Like, that's the – so that – like, it was the whole game. Brunson had 7 – listen to this. Brunson took 25 shots in this game, right? 17 were in the paint. So, again, I'm not talking about a dude that hung out on the perimeter. 17 shots he took in the paint, and he got 8 free throws. The Knicks only got 12, but that's not the whole story. Let's go to the other side. The Houston Rockets.
With no stars. And Van Vliet was in street clothes.
They took 33 free throws. A 21 free throw disparity for two teams that play physical and two teams that go to the basket and two teams that are tied for 11th in the league in free throw attempts, which means they both go to the line. And you had a 21 free throw attempt disparity. That doesn't make sense.
I thought Tibbs was going to lose.
And he never takes texts, by the way. He doesn't do that.
I thought that jail was going to wear out. I thought he was going to start just fuming from the head. And his Charlie Brown follicles was going to straighten out.
No doubt. Now, I want to be clear on something, Bart. I am not suggesting the whole, you know, rigged. I'm not suggesting that referees are out for the Knicks. I am not suggesting that because I've been around this league long enough to know that doesn't exist. This is not what officials do. They don't like, I don't like those guys. Now, I know there's some of the rivalries we've seen in the past between players and referees that somehow, some way, it's just crazy, but that's what happens. Scott Foster and Chris Paul is one of these things that you just can't figure out, right? But it happens. Joey Crawford and Tim Duncan, like we've had those, all right? They've been in this league. But overall, you don't see an officiating crew that's like, we got the Knicks, let's screw them tonight. You don't see that. I can't wrap my head around this. Like, I want to sit down with the three of them going, guys, what were you looking at that you just weren't making the call here, but every whistle was it's like hometown officiating, which of course doesn't exist in the NBA. These guys aren't from Houston.
Did they
but
sell
it doesn't
it more?
Make sense.
I'm like, did they sell it more? Like, what, you know, like, was it more demonstrative?
Oh, I need answers. Answers. You got
to
explain it to me. What the hell happened?
Did they go to school of Ginobili? Like, I didn't get it.
Yeah, it's incredibly maddening to me. So it wasn't just the last play. It was the whole game had a major issue that just kept popping up. The DiVincenzo, kicked his leg out. That doesn't count. We're going to take that off the board. Like I said, the lowering the shoulder. Mm-hmm. What the hell was that? How many times Brunson would go to the basket and end up on the ground, and it's like, nope, play on. But play on? Like, it just for Brunson, this is not new. This is how they've been officiating him.
Yes.
He doesn't get those calls.
He doesn't get the superstar treatment. If that's Dame, if that's Dame Lillard, foul. If that's Steph Curry, foul. Right? If that's Ja Morant, foul. Right? And it's like he's on a cusp of everybody knowing that he's a superstar.
Yep.
But he's like a year early before he gets superstar treatment. And, like, that's not fair, but that's the reality of it. But there's no reason why the other side, who has a bunch of young, not even stars yet, just budding stars and young maybe Gen X, and they're getting the calls? Like, I don't get it. And to add insult to injury, Allen, if you're going to lose the game, a game that's pivotal, you got, a three-game road trip before the All-Star
two.
Break.
You got one more left. And this, you were on a three-game losing streak,
yes,
which is now more important,
right,
because you want to stay in the top four, and you got players dropping like flies. So,
point.
This was a critical game. They were making a comeback and doing whatever they could to try to get a win.
Me. And you made my point for me. This was a pivotal loss, right? And it's,
yes,
not about who you lost to. It's about where you are and how you've been spiraling out of control, and the fact that you look like a game of Oregon Trail, and you losing guys for everything, right?
Yes.
Acid reflux,
dysentery.
And to add insult to injury, because DiVincenzo has been one of the guys trying to put the team on his back, now he tweaks the hammy.
Yeah, that's the other thing we haven't talked about yet. Did you lose another guy?
That's the
lost in that.
As you try and bring these young guys, as you try and bring some of these guys in that have been, with the trade, but, they got to get caught up to speed. They got to get in the rhythm, get in the flow.
Yep.
And, Burks is doing his thing. He's seamless because he's been here, so he knows what it fits.
He was bad last night. He couldn't make a shot. Bogdanovich had a good fourth quarter. But, and that's, again, see, that's the thing. It's taking us away from that part of the story with the Knicks, which is that you couldn't afford to lose this game. You lost it. And you might have lost DiVincenzo with a hamstring going into the break. You still got one more game against an Eastern Conference opponent in the Orlando Magic that has already beaten you twice. And you want to you got to get a win against them at some point. And now you might even be shorthanded in this game. It's like I said, there's so much, there's so many.
Give me Jabby. I want Jabby now.
He's coming at 12:30. He's going to be terrific. But if you think, anybody listening, it's like, you're being a homer, you're being one. Fine. I'll tell you what, let's go to the national media, shall we? Let's see what everybody else had to say. If you don't want to hear it from me, how about from Brian Windhorst, who is as unbiased an observer as you could possibly find in the media, on the national media, on television. Here's his take from First Take.
This was an absolutely brutal call. And not only that, but it was great defense. Jalen Brunson played great defense there. He forced Aaron Holiday into only using one arm.
Exactly.
Because he did such good contesting of that shot. He did one arm. Now, I'm not adept enough.
There's probably more to it, but he is adept. I think he's talking about how the officiating works. But I'm watching
Holiday
this.
Put his elbow out. Decided not to shoot.
He puts the
elbow
out,
and that's where the form. That's where the contact.
Which is why you don't make the call.
Body.
It's what I said in the post game last night on MSG. That's why you don't make the call. And I also looked at it as a situational thing. There's no way in hell you blow that whistle when we're tied.
Yes.
You don't blow. I'm not blowing that. It's 40 feet from the basket. It's a chuck and duck from 40. There's no way. He would have had to have kicked him. He would have had to have taken him out with a clothesline.
Right. He would
have
had to make
no
him fall.
There's no way I'm giving you that.
He
you
didn't
just
even fall.
Chucked that shot.
He didn't even sell it. He didn't even fall. Like get
no, he landed
like
on his feet, which is what
That's
Malloy
what
said. All right, fine. How about Perk? Kendrick Perkins played in the league for 15 years, 12 years, whatever it was. He's been in the league a long time. What does he think of it?
Hell yeah, they was robbing. That was one of the worst calls I've seen in NBA history. Even when I was playing. When it comes down to it, I watched that entire basketball game. The officials messed up a great basketball game. It was physical. Guys were going at it. The Knicks were down double figures. They came back. They were going toe-to-toe. Dylan Brooks junked up the game. Him and Jalen Brunson got into it. Dylan Brooks knocking down the tray ball. Jalen Brunson clutch shot to tie the game. And all of a sudden it comes to this. And I don't want to hear the explanation after the game and the officials admitting that they were wrong. They knew they was wrong when they actually had to go review it and see how much time was on the clock. At the end of the day, this was bad for the game last night. It was one of the worst calls I've seen in NBA history, and they should have let this thing play it out. It was a physical game all game long. How do you call that?
Right. You let the players figure it out. Let the players decide the game. Not a whistle when we're tied with a 40-foot chuck and duck. No way do you let yourself have an impact on the finish of this game. Did I lose you? I guess I lost Bart. Well, anyways, 800-919-3776. Let's begin the calls now. We'll go to Tom and Lindenhurst. Go ahead, Tom.
Hi. Yeah, thanks for taking the call. Of course, it's one of the worst calls I've ever seen in my life. I think what Windhorst was saying is that Brunson's agile enough to avoid the contact, the collision mm-hmm. on the play. I think that's what the final thought was. Yep. You know, you can't, like you said, in a physical type game, I mean, you're letting a lot go. How do all of a sudden, it's like a home plate umpire not giving the pitcher the corner. Then in the ninth inning, he starts giving them the call. How do you change just like that? I mean, you can't make that call. And then what's worse, then there was the indecision of how much time was left on the clock. Mm-hmm. Then we had a go. Then all of a sudden, time expired. Hey,
Tom,
game over.
You know what, Tom? You also triggered that in my head, too. You know what else got screwed up? The clock started too soon. It doesn't start until the ball touches the hand, not the rim.
That's correct.
So it hits the hands. He calls timeout immediately, and they don't reward them the timeout. So it's like, I don't even get 0.3 seconds just to try my own chuck.
I can't even have a chance to answer this. We call that the hometown clock.
Well, the thing is, too, what you have to do is you have to alert the ref that you're calling the timeout immediately.
Which he did. He did.
Refs. Like, come on. The refs got to understand that. They understand basketball. They know that that's natural. They should be looking for that.
Thank you, Tom. He did, though. And they called the timeout right away. But the clock started on the bounce off the rim.
We call that the hometown.
How do they not fix that?
But that's why I want to ask Jabby. Because, I understand what happens. But when you get in that little circle, and the head ref should be saying, hey, bro, come on, man.
They didn't go there to review that.
They went there to review the time. No. But they need to go in there. Hey man, we ain't gonna do this, bro.
Here's the problem, though.
He has a history of it.
You're right, but the problem is that conversation has to have before they go to the video, because once you go to the video, it suggests that you watched the video, saw it wasn't a call, and changed the call, which you're not allowed to do.
What's wrong with huddling up?
You can. All right, so earlier in the game, they had a moment where, once again, another bad call. It was an obvious kickball by Jalen Green. It hit his foot and went out of bounds. He had, like, some neon-colored sneakers on, clearly off his foot. They called it off DiVincenzo. DiVincenzo right away was like, what the hell are you talking about? So the referees get together. They converge, conversation, reverse the call, Knicks ball, right? So we've seen that happen before. If anything, I need to know from Steve Javy, do you get together in that moment and does, like, Ed Malloy, you know, like it doesn't matter who it is. It could have been Andy Nagy was the other official.
Yeah,
they could have gotten together and said, hey, we're not calling that. Like, we're not. No way. We can't call that. Let's wave that off. Let's get to overtime. That's what they should have done.
What do refs say all the time?
And then watch the video to see how much time is left.
What does refs say all the time? We don't want to determine the outcome of games.
You hope so.
It's a bad look now that the story is not about the great game. And maybe the Knicks would have lost. But it was a hell of a game.
I'm not saying the Knicks would have won the game. Yes. I'm just saying you got to give them a chance, though.
My point. And it's an opportunity for a great product to be seen or lost, right? Talk about, like, man, how scrappy the Knicks are. Man, this young Houston team, Adoka, really has them playing hard and getting it in. We should have been talking about that.
Well, what else you don't want? If you're the NBA, and I know Adam Silver doesn't want this, you don't want people now talking about the line, how the line moved from 4.5 all of a sudden to +1. Whoa, what was that all about? It was a crazy last hour where the line had aggressive movement from one side to the other. And so you don't want that. You don't want the whole conspiracy. You don't want conversations about your officials.
Especially when we had Donahue.
Well, that's a long time ago now, but you're right. People still bring it up,
If that existed then, now that this is more prevalent and, you know, it's easier to gamble, who's to say? So, like, you don't want to have those conversations out there. Get it right. And I don't care if it's a review or not. It's like, last, like, you know, when you can, when you get the buzzer in football from the top of the booth.
Like, the only problem is that in the NFL, there's no transition from offense to defense. You have time to review every scoring play. You can't do that. The NBA would be there all night.
No, in the last 2 minutes,
we'll be there all night.
Which determines the outcome of games.
If you have to check, I think it's only two minutes. I wouldn't do 2 minutes. Okay. I would do if it's a buzzer. If it's at the buzzer, you can review a foul. As officials, you can say, let's just make sure.
And it should come from Secaucus.
Maybe.
I feel like they should be able to say.
Because the buzzer, doesn't allow the opponent. Like, it's one thing to call a foul, and maybe it was a phantom foul with 30 seconds to go. At least the other team gets the ball, right? Even if it was 7 seconds left, at least the other team still gets the ball. But when it's at zeros.
In the game situation.
3/10? Yeah, I have no chance.
Feel like I was watching Bill Laimbeer and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar all over again.
Let's take some more calls here real quick before we get to Steve Javy. Let's go to Dave in New Milford. Dave.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
All right.
First, Alan, I want to commend you for how cool, calm, and collected you were last night, because if I was in your shoes, I'd probably be out of a job today because I would have had a profanely tirade on the postgame show. So kudos to you, man.
No, he would have got a raise. He would have got a raise. That's state TV right there, baby.
No.
He could have got a raise.
Don't say state TV. It is not state TV.
I'm just saying, they ain't going to fire you for defending the
Knicks. No, but you also, you do want to be a professional about it, and I was trying to make sure I understood both sides of it, and I honestly thought that the league, like, I was pleasantly surprised that they came out right away and said it was the wrong call, because I kept saying, they're just going to say this because there was contact. I was trying to see it both ways to explain it, and I also said, you need a pool reporter. They better get one in there. And I was texting Fred Katz saying, who's the pool reporter? He goes, it's me. I go, good. Get on it. So, you know, that's how we have to do it, though. But I appreciate it. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, so, you know, I was watching the game, and it just baffled me. You have an all-star in Jalen Brunson, a guy that some are saying could be a sneaky, you know, get a couple votes for the MVP this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you have Amen Thompson, a rookie, just hacking and whacking him all night, and there's no calls.
Yeah, it wasn't just him. Dylan Brooks was playing him physically, battling him, and that's what Dylan Brooks does. And again, he's a terrific defender, but it's one thing that you're like, all right, this is going to be a physical game. Okay, fine, but why is it 33-12? That's what I didn't get. 33-12 in a physical game? That doesn't make sense.
It baffled me, just absolutely baffled me. And the problem is, I've been saying this for years, the NBA and all other sports are still going to have these problems with the referees until they're held more accountable. Because if Thibodeau went to the stage last night and just ripped them apart, he'd be fine for that.
Yep.
He'd be fine. If Jalen Brunson bumped into the ref, he'd be out 10 games.
Yeah.
But these refs get away with murder. It's just until they start getting fined and suspended, you're going to have this problem all the time.
I think, Dave, what you're talking about is public accountability, because I can tell you, and Steve Javy will explain that to us momentarily, they do have accountability privately. They get reprimanded. I'm telling you, it's ugly. And a lot of these guys, it costs them the ability to officiate playoff games, which is a big money aspect for them. It is big for their careers and their profiles. And they don't get you don't get the better games. You don't get national games. Like, that's a big deal. So you don't want that on your resume. And for Goebel, this is a second time now. As everybody pointed out, last year, LeBron James clearly a foul. And afterwards, the same thing. Crew chief said, we missed the call.
Remember,
that was the game that Patrick Beverly came out with the camera to show the official you missed it, and he got a tech for it. You know, like, there's different things that happened in that game, but they clearly missed a call. Against it was this Lakers Celtics game, famously.
Yeah.
But it's
and
that's
there
is accountability.
The
it's behind the scenes. That's what it is.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. This guy needs to be Charlotte, Utah. Those are the type of games.
Has been doing playoff games lately. The last couple of years, he's been doing some playoff games, not a lot, but some. But I imagine they're just. I mean, they got to teach better with some of the younger officials. We've had a problem with the younger officials in the NBA, just like the NFL's had problem. That Major League Baseball has been having issues with the umpires to a point now where you're going to get you're going to get automatic balls and strikes now. There's video review now.
You got to make them full time. I think you got to make them full time. You got to have permanent
NBA. They're full time.
This is their job.
Oh, that's why, and that's why it's so valuable.
Then
because you want more games, more money.
Yeah, you have no excuses.
No. And like I said, they do hold them accountable. All right. We have calls. We'll keep them ready to go. 800-919-3776. But I want to make enough time for us to talk with Steve Javy about all this, and he gets the explanation. Now, understand, again, he is no longer an official. He doesn't work for the league. He works for us. He works for ESPN. He is impartial now. He knows the rules. He knows how this all goes. So we have to give him the opportunity to explain it all to us, how it goes down. I think it's going to be a really insightful interview. It's coming up next. So stay with us. It's Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Still plenty of fallout from the way the Super Bowl ended, including some of the 49ers players admitting they did not know about the new overtime rules. Earlier this morning on DiPietro and Rothenberg, the guys asked Abani Toomer if that's a bad look for the coaching staff.
Absolutely the coaching staff. You know, I played for two different coaches. The vast difference won us a lot of games. I played for Jim Fossil, great dude, great coach, but we weren't a detail-oriented bunch. We made to a Super Bowl, but we lost. But when I played for Coughlin, every scenario that we ever had, we practiced at one point in time. It was so beaten to us over the years that every time something went up, went down, we didn't even think about it.
That is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
The most important thing is to get the educated eye and mind on what happened last night at the end of the Knicks and Rockets game. The first name I thought of was Steve Javy. He is our ESPN rules analyst, but for 25 years or more than that, he was one of the top officials in the NBA, and he's done tons of NBA finals games and everything else. So, Steve, kind enough to join us right now, and thank you so much for the time. I just, you know what, Steve, I just want to begin simply with what happens in a situation like that. Have you ever been in a situation like that? A foul is called just ticks of a second before the buzzer, and you might even, as like the crew chief or another member of the crew, look and go, I don't know about that one. Like, how do the officials handle that?
Now, first thing, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Couple things. Number one, the official who made that call did not sleep, believe me, last night at all. There's no doubt, because I've been in that situation. I've been that official who's made a call at the end of the game. And this is even before replay review, where we, you know, went over to the table. I mean, go in the locker room afterwards and you look at it and you go, oh my gosh, I can't believe I blew the whistle on that. And then I was there also one time as a crew chief when a partner of mine blew a foul very similar to last night's game. When you go over to replay review to basically, because they can only check the clock. Right. They can't sit there and change the call. And to look and go, oh my gosh, there's no foul. It's the worst feeling in the world, believe me, because, you know, we're there to try to get as many calls right. And when you decide a game like that, it's tough. What it becomes really, and it's, hopefully it's a learning situation for this young official. And I know for me it was when I did it. And it becomes what happens is you have a momentary loss of concentration because you have to know the situation. You know it's a tie ball game. You see the ball, the clock running down, the ball gets thrown out, and you know you have that feeling in desperation time because it's a second left. And you can't really guess on the play. You can't have a doubt on the play because what's the worst-case scenario? You go to overtime, mm-hmm. and the guys decide it. And that's the thing. But what happens, every once in a while, you get that brain cramp, and you get that loss of concentration. That's exactly what happened. And
sorry, Bart, because it leads me into exactly what I wanted to ask you next, Steve. So I'm glad you put it that way and the way you said it, which is let the guys decide the game in overtime. We all understand letter of the law, right? We all understand a rule like a foul is a foul is a foul, whether it's in the first minute of the game or the last minute of the game. It should be, technically, you're supposed to call it that way. But we all know how the game works. And I know it from talking to many different officials, including yourself. I know that you guys don't want to decide the game, want the players to decide the game. Is there a case to be made that even if you could, because I really thought they'd find a reason to say there was contact, oh, lower body, you see his hand or whatever. You always find a way to say there was some type of contact that led to the foul. But is there ever a thought that comes to mind when you see the play developing and you go, that's like, we're going overtime. Like, I'm not calling that, right? Like, is there ever a time where that happens?
Well, I think what it is you're trained mentally. It's a thing of saying that it's, if you see a foul that's obvious, a guy gets hit on the arm, you got to call it. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
The time that you don't want to put air in the whistle is when you go, is it or isn't it? Where sometimes during the game you put air in the whistle with 10 minutes left because I think that's a foul. And, you know, that's when you can get in trouble. That's when you lose, you know, you obviously miss calls. And that's, unfortunately, there are times in games where you use your judgment and your experience and say that, hey, that's, you know, that could be a foul by the way the ball went up or down. You really didn't see it. This is the time of game that that you don't do that. You don't sit there and go, well, my experience is because the ball went this way or the player went that way. No, you've got to see it for sure and know that it is a foul at that time of game, especially, like I said, in a tie ball game. Because let's put it this way, Alan. If that was a foul and it wasn't called, you still had 5 minutes left.
Yes.
Where the team can now win. One team is going to win the game or lose the game. Will they bring that play up at the end of the game? Yes. But at least both teams have a chance now to win the game at 5 minutes left in overtime.
See, but that's what, you know, something else that you said is you see this as a learning experience, or you saw this as a learning experience. But we know the same official had this exact same call last year. So clearly something's not getting through. So as a group or as a, you know, officials and head officials, how do you come together and get him that type of message? If, you know, he's a repeat offender, last year he had the same call similar against LeBron James. And we know that. And yet again, here we are again. And I don't know, because I'm a football guy. Is it a situation where a head official can overrule an official and say, hey, come together in a huddle before you go over there and check the clock for the time and say, hey, you know, I think we need to reverse this call after discussion? Because you see it amongst the NFL all the time. They get in a circle before something's challenged or not, and they make sure they try and get it right. And sometimes another official may say, hey, man, I don't know if you want to do that. And they're able to change it.
Yeah, unfortunately, it is not like the NFL where they get together and say, well, no, there's not a foul and so on. Because the NFL can get in there and say the ball was tipped or the guy, this happened and that happened. But no, unfortunately, in this situation, that won't happen. Being a repeat offender, I'll just give you an example too. When I said I experienced it myself, I did it twice in 1 week early in my career. I swear to you, at the end of a game scenario, I had it twice in a week, and my crew chief looked at me after the second time with like I had three heads and said, are you nuts? This just happened like 2 nights ago. And I'm sitting there going, like, I can't believe I did it again. So you kind of, I know you said about repeat offenders. Unfortunately, that can happen. And like I said, for me, it did. And obviously, after the second time, probably got hammered into my head a little more. Where I made sure at end of game situations that I didn't lose my concentration, that I was on top of things. this is I'm not going to make an excuse. Tough time of year for players and coaches. Are you getting tired going into the All-Star break? Not an excuse, but it's a fact that you can probably have your concentration a little lower. And why you should have it lower, I don't know, because it's a tie ball game at that time of the game, but it happens. Unfortunately, it does happen.
That's the human element, right, of officiating, and that's the whole part of this. We're talking with Steve Javy, again, longtime NBA official for 25 years.
Best slick back in the game. Ever.
Oh, definitely.
Maybe Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone got you, but outside of that, best slick back in all the business.
Whatever the gel is, using it well. He's also our ESPN rules analyst right now joining the show. So we don't want to slow the game down with reviews, right? Like, again, Bart played in the NFL for 11 years. He talks about how all scoring, you know, all touchdowns are reviewed late in the game. You just want to make sure they get it right. Is it a catch? Is it not a catch? All that stuff. But NFL doesn't have a transition from offense to defense the way the NBA does. So while fans have asked me, why can't they review that? Why can't they review a call if they aren't sure about it? Can you explain that process as well? Like, number one, you can't review it. You're reviewing the clock like you explained. But we can't. Could we ever get to a place where someone in, whether it's Secaucus or even like an eye in the sky in the building, just buzzes down and says, guys, check that. Like you can we ever get to that just so you have the call correct?
It's an interesting question. It really is, because I don't know where it's going with this AI, because we have this Hawkeye now that comes in to play with out-of-bounds plays. Mm-hmm. We'll come in with out-of-bounds plays. They do it now. This artificial intelligence, this ball tracking with basket interference and goaltending and also in the cylinder or not. And maybe down the road, something that, you know, that can happen with tracking. I don't know what you'd have to track. Obviously, not the ball.
Right.
It'd be kind of a foul. But, I mean, even with these challenges, they're getting to like having a second challenge if the first one is successful. But they have to be careful, I know, because, you know, they don't want the game to, like you say, to go on and on. Maybe it's something down the road they explore, like, the last minute of the game. But then someone would say, well, with 2 minutes left, that call is just as important, too. So I where do you go from it?
Right.
If you wanted to make it a longer game, maybe you could do that. But I just think, you know what, things happen, Alan. Like you said, it's the human element of the game. Players can commit 15, 20 turnovers a team as a whole in the game, and then it comes down to one call by the official or two calls by the official. And it's going to happen. Players are going to make turnovers. Officials are going to make turnovers.
Right. What did you think of the fact that, and I know this isn't unprecedented, because I believe Eric Lewis did it last year on the game we're talking about with the Celtics and the Lakers, but to have after the game right away when the pool reporter comes in, because I it's rare that it's like, we missed that. Yeah, we screwed up. Like what do you think of that? Because I feel like, for the NBA, you don't want officiating to be part of the story. You don't want it talked about. You don't want all the other things creeping up about, oh, it's fixed, oh, it's this, oh, it's that, right? You don't want that. So it's important to, instead of letting it fester or even trying to cover up for your partner by saying, well, there was contact and blah, 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 and you leave it up to the last two-minute report. The fact that Ed came out right away, Ed Molloy, who was the crew chief, came out and said right away, we watched it back and we realized it was wrong. How important is that, though, Steve, to just say it right away so it doesn't sit for a whole day of denial?
I think it just definitely lends credibility that, you know, hey, this is what happened. We're honest with it. We'll own up to the mistakes. Believe me, when Ed was looking at it at the table at the time of the game, he knew there was no foul on the play, mm-hmm. too. So he had that time of, like, the last couple, you know, free throws and so on and so forth, and he's walking to the locker room, and he knows who he's going to say right away. They probably didn't even have to look at it again in the locker room, because replay center gives you every angle of the play. Believe me, they were trying to find contact, and they couldn't. So if he ever came out and said, well, you saw the right foot, it tipped over, that's the, come on. You know, so all credibility is lost. Nobody's going to believe you. Because believe me, you try to defend yourself as much as possible, because you know the hits are going to keep coming at you. But you know what? He did the right thing. He lent credibility to it, and it's like, okay, we messed up. Let's go on, and we'll try to get it right the next time.
Now, the other thing that stands out is that really this whole game, I don't know how much of this game you got to see last night, but I obviously watched it because I cover it. And so for me, it felt like that was sort of a microcosm of what the whole game felt like. It was very physical. Two very physical teams, of course, which I know for you guys is probably the most difficult type of game to call because you could probably blow the whistle on every play. But what I saw at the end when you look at the box score is what I scratched my head at this one. And if you could explain it, please do. The free throw disparity was 33-12. The Knicks, on average, go to the line 23, almost 24 times a game, and they spend a lot of time in the paint. Jalen Brunson himself, 17 of his 25 shots came in the paint for a guy 6'2". He took 8 free throws. Now, I know that you don't sit there as a referee and count free throws and let's make sure we even this thing up, but how can something like that happen? Can you explain to the viewers, like, how does something like that happen when you see both teams are playing physical? It's not like one team took 40 threes and wasn't going in the paint. They were in the paint. They scored 58 points in the paint. And yet, contact was called really on one side and not the other.
Now we're getting into being a fan, and I like it. I like it. first of all, when you say about a physical game, the game today, as you well know, guys, it's not physical. I referee when it was physical.
Yeah,
I mean, this game, when you,
Bart's from Detroit.
My first years refereeing those guys, my Lord, and then New York and all. I mean, when it's so funny when I'm on a game at the replay center, I'm not avoiding your question, by the way, I'll get back to it, but I'm at the game in the replay center, and I hear the announcer, that is getting a little physical out there, and I just start giggling to myself, going, because a couple of guys like wrestled with each other, and I said, oh, my gosh. I said, that's nothing, you know. First, I can't comment. I would like to comment. I wish I did. I did not watch the game.
Okay.
I just watched what happened because you had asked me to come on with that, but I did not watch the game. And one thing I know that a lot of coaches try to do afterwards is they try to referee the game by the free throws at the end of the game, or they try to evaluate the referee's performance by free throws. And one thing I would never do to a referee or anything, because there are times there are disparities like that. And even though one team thinks, well, look at all these the shots in the paint, I'd have to look at, in order for me to make a comment on the game really wasn't refereed well or something, I have to look at the tape. One thing I did get was because I still obviously am in touch with a bunch of referees, a buddy of mine who is an evaluator watching, since we watched the fourth quarter, the guys did a great job, except for this play and so on and so forth. So from an unbiased opinion, at least with the fourth quarter, from what information I was told, that the officiating crew did a very good job, you know, leading up to this last play, of course. But so it's hard to me. I can't explain to you disparity of free throws, because one thing, as you said, we as officials don't look that way. Believe me, we see it afterwards and you go, well, I know they're going to hang their hat on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's all up to us also as professionals to look at that game objectively after the game and to see, did we get plays right or plays wrong? And are there games that we're going to sit there and go, you know, didn't have a good game? Certainly. Absolutely. And then there are games that there's disparities. And you sit there and go, there's nothing more we could have done. I mean, we did the best job we could. Of course, there's always plays you miss in games. Every game, there's no doubt. But to comment on a foul disparity just without seeing the tape, I couldn't do that for you.
No, that's a fair answer, very fair answer. Bart, now Steve Javvy was an official in the NBA from 1986 to 2011, okay? So you're talking about when he references physical games.
Yeah, Robert Parrish punched Bill Laimbeer in the nose, broke his nose, and it was a common foul. And he punched him in the face.
Two shots on the
ball. Well, you had to look at who he was punching. Come on. All right.
Come on, Bill Laimbeer's a saint. It should be a statue erected in
the
Detroit
question
for him.
You guys confer and probably say, well, did he deserve it? Yeah, he probably did. Like, you guys were more like NHL refs back in the day than you were breaking up fights.
Yeah, course correction, we call that. But I'd like to ask you, like, you talked about you had two of these in 1 week. This is 2 and 2 years, and these two pretty high-profile type of, you know, LeBron's a profile all by itself, but also the Knicks and the media and the power, and, you know, now you got to hear it on Get Up, First Take, and all these places. You know, what's the next step? Because I think people don't realize, they think that, you know, referees or umpires or whatever, they're not reprimanded and it's not consequences to them, you know, making these type of mistakes. You know, explain to our listeners kind of what that process is when they get called to the principal's office.
Yeah. Yes, I had the ruler hit in my knuckles a few times in my career. There's no doubt about that. One thing about that, it's, first of all, as you're saying, like high profile, LeBron James or this, it's hard. I know, unless you've officiated the game, my father taught me this years ago, people won't understand our mindset unless you were really in our shoes. And it's true, because I can't understand the mindset of other people, their profession too. So it doesn't matter to us whether it's a finals game, it's a Knicks Houston regular season game, LeBron, it really doesn't matter. I mean, we're trying the best we possibly can to get every play right. And the reason being is this: it affects our careers. It affects our pocketbook, because we get, the referees get evaluated every play, just about, well, nowadays, every possession. There's people, you know, the next day looking at the game, every possession, and they get graded. And those grades go towards a system of rating the referees, so when it gets to the end of the season, who's now in line to do the playoffs. And when that happens, that's extra money. It's just like a salesman. You know, he gets a bonus for selling so much. Well, referees get a bonus for each round of the playoffs they're in. So if he's getting graded down each and every game, and when players say they're not held accountable, they certainly are, because if for some reason we have, you know, referees who are not refereeing as well as other people, they're not going to go to the playoffs and make more money. And then each round of the playoffs, they're evaluated. And to get to that next round, it's even more money for you. So it's another bonus. So as far as accountability, there is accountability. And that's why even it goes against when people say, well, referees favor this guy or favor the superstar. If you're telling me that I'm going to make a call in favor of somebody, and it's going to affect my money for my family and my, no. I don't love anybody that much to sit there and say, I'm going to take this money out of my pocket just to ingratiate myself with that guy. So there's so much accountability, more so than a normal person would know. But that's the big one right there. Everybody's doing the best they can, because at the end of the year, they want that playoff money and they want to keep advancing each and every round. And that helps support their family, you know, and that's the name of the game.
That is a fantastic explanation of something that a lot of fans ask about, which is the accountability. And that was absolutely perfect. That's why I wanted to bring you on, Steve. I appreciate the time. This was really educational. Outstanding. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks so much for having me. Anytime. Give me a holler. I'd be more than happy.
You got
Thank
it.
You.
All right, again, Steve Javy, a long time in the NBA. He understands the ins and the outs, and I hope everybody understood everything he was trying to explain there.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, it's pond hockey season on Long Island. I mean, with this snow today, get the outdoor rinks going again. But anyways, ESPN New York wants you to be part of the action. Head to ESPNNewYork.com or the ESPN New York app for your chance to win a 60-minute time slot at the outdoor synthetic rink.
I'm back.
In the park at UBS Arena. Just scroll down to contest and submit your entry. Join the New York Islanders for some fun in February. Take advantage of special ticket pricing for upcoming home games at UBS Arena and be there for every thrilling matchup. Get your tickets today at NewYorkIslanders.com/feb. So, Bart, let's get the people back into the conversation here now. You heard Steve Javy. You heard everything he explained. 800-919-3776. We'll carry the calls into the 1 o'clock hour. There's other things, of course, to get to as well. Some interesting stuff coming off the Super Bowl and more. So we'll get to that. We'll continue, of course, the conversation of this with the officiating last night, the Knicks, and let's not overlook the fact that there's more injury concerns. There's one game left before the All-Star break, and man, this team is just dragging itself to the break with a much needed rest to get these bodies healthy so we can actually see how good they can be. So we got calls and more coming up. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. It's one of the biggest stories heading into spring training for the Mets. What will wind up happening with Pete Alonso and his contract? David Stern says that it's likely that Alonso will hit free agency. Earlier this morning on DPH Ron Rothenberg, Rick and Dave said if the Mets are not going to sign Alonso, they have to trade him.
Scott Boras is his agent now. It doesn't feel like this is going to come to a happy conclusion. Here's my take. I don't want them to trade him. I feel like that's the direction we're going in. What will annoy me is if the Mets don't go to the postseason, don't sign Pete Alonso, don't trade Pete Alonso, and lose him for nothing.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original. Triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.